I'll call the meeting of the Energy Finance and Policy Division to order. First of all, actually, we do have a quorum, and the chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from February 24th. Representative Briner moves approval of the minutes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. Members, I'm sure you're aware that currently the House Republicans are conducting a hopefully brief caucus. Representative Hackbarth is going to be their emissary currently. I did talk to Representative Westrum after session. He's aware that we were trying to do as much business this afternoon as possible, and in order to accomplish that, what I propose to do is reverse the order of the bills that we have on the agenda so that we would be considering a House File 3125 first, followed by House File 3009, and Representative Falk has agreed to postpone consideration of House File 2019 until Wednesday. So we're here for that. I'm sorry, but we can't control how time goes around here. I should mention also that I've had, I'm sure members are aware that in House File 3009, there is basically only one section that is in any way contentious, or at least that's my hope. And in discussions with some of the concerned parties, they seem to feel that perhaps that is capable of being resolved, so that my intention with that bill is to take testimony today and lay it over pending the resolution of the issues surrounding Section 7. So with that, I am going to pass the gavel to our vice chair and take up consideration of 3125.
Representative Hilty, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pleasure to be here.
Would you like to move your bill, please?
I would, Mr. Chair. I would move that House File 3125 be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. Mr. Chair, as sort of in keeping with how everything else has gone so far today, I discovered that the delete all amendment for House File 3125 is only now being copied and presumably will be available in a couple of minutes. That being the case, I think it is possible to go ahead and address the bill. Members, you will recall that in the consideration of Representative Bly's eminent domain bill, Representative Westrum offered an amendment dealing with priority consideration for various rights of way in matters of transmission siting. That amendment was adopted, and actually the same day that the amendment was adopted to that bill, I got the jackets from Senator Pretner Solon for a bill that basically dealt with exactly the same issue as the Westrom Amendment, although in a somewhat altered form. That bill is 3125, and what I propose to do is offer in the delete all amendment basically an only slightly altered form of the Westrom Amendment to Representative Bly's eminent domain bill. I believe that this is more or less satisfactory to the parties that had concerns with this issue, which I guess we can find out in the testimony, but we have had communication with the Department of Transportation, and I believe that they are happy with the proposal as it stands. If we do not have that amendment before us at this time, perhaps, Mr. Chair, we could just defer further consideration of the bill until the amendment becomes available and go to testimony on House File 3009.
Representative Hilty, agree with that. And so if it's the committee's will or the chair's will, we will defer consideration of House File 3125 and move to take testimony on House File 3009.
Mr. Chair, I believe the motion would be to temporarily table consideration of House File 3125. I would so move.
Representative Hilty, I apologize to interrupt. I believe that the amendment is being distributed as we're speaking.
Well, in that case, Mr. Chair, I withdraw the motion.
Members, as you are receiving the delete all amendment, Representative Hilty, would you wish to move the amendment to get the bill in the shape of which the author intends?
I would, Mr. Chair, move adoption of the H3125DE1 amendment.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Hilty, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, as I stated previously, Mr. Chair, the DE1 amendment is basically the Westrom amendment that this committee adopted in the previous consideration of the Bly amendment or Bly bill. I think perhaps the simplest thing to do would be to ask Mr. Eliff if he would to point out changes that have been made to the amendment with respect to the Westrom amendment previously
Eliff,
adopted.
Would you please indulge us with your comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It would be easier to do if I had a copy of the original amendment. But Well, yeah. No. Okay. Mostly, yeah. Okay. Mr. Chair, looking at Section 1 of the DE1, there is a good deal of new language in here, I think beginning at lines 1.7, where it talks about the commission's issuance of a permit for a high-voltage transmission line should be consistent with a policy of prudent avoidance that minimizes proximity of overhead high-voltage transmission lines to residences, schools, childcare facilities, et cetera, where that avoidance is costless or can be achieved at little cost. That was language that was not in Representative's original amendment. But the next phrase on line 110, giving priority consideration to utilizing existing utility, highway, and publicly owned railway corridors, was the essence of Representative Westrom's amendment. And I believe that the definition of corridor in lines 1.11 to 1.13 is essentially the same. Another difference, I think, is the last line in that section where the DE1 says the commission shall also give consideration to placing high-voltage transmission lines underground. My recollection of the Western Amendment is that was required, I don't know if it was to the maximum extent feasible, but language similar to that, and this is toned down to quite an extent. The Section 2 of the DE1 calls on the Public Utilities Commission and the Department of Transportation to cooperate to develop and implement procedures to basically carry out the changes in Section 1. Especially to coordinate those procedures with the Department of Transportation's own permitting procedures. And paragraph B on page 2 of that section requires the Commission to report any statutory amendments that would be required by the policies and procedures those two agencies develop to be reported to the legislature.
Thank you, Mr. Eloff, for that overview. Representative Hilty, do you have further comments?
Well, Mr. Chair, I would only mention that the additional language in Section 1 of the bill was intended and I hope accomplishes the adding additional clarity to the language so that we have a good idea of what kinds of things we're talking about here. And also, as Mr. Eloff pointed out, the language regarding placing high voltage transmission lines underground was changed partly because I felt, and I think others did as well, that the original language regarding feasibility did not really make clear whether feasible meant simply capable of being done at any expense or feasible being something that was economically feasible. So we just eliminated that language. And that basically is the substantive change in the amendment and the bill.
Representative Hilty, it's been brought to my attention that perhaps on line 2.4 you would maybe consider deleting the word committees just to help clarify where the jurisdiction actually lies over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It would appear that that's simply a typo. That word should not have been included in the language. I could ask staff if that's the case. I see Mr. Eloff is nodding. So, Mr. Chair, I would move to delete on line 2.4 the word committees from the bill.
Members, the oral amendment before us is to delete the word committees in line 2.4. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to offer an amendment. I hope the chair will find it to be a friendly amendment that I'm going to start doing in all committees and on my bill drafts. My understanding is this type of reporting from the public utilities to the chairs and ranking minority members is likely an electronic submission at this point in this day and age. And so I wonder if the chair would consider it a friendly amendment to strike the words chairs and ranking minority. So it would just say to the members of the Senate and House committees with primary jurisdiction over energy policy, because to me it makes sense for everybody on the committee to get the same information at the same time. And if it's electronic, it shouldn't cost anything. And we can defer this discussion to a different time if this isn't the right time to have this discussion. But it just seems, as we get these things electronically, it doesn't make sense anymore to hope that the chair will forward the email.
Representative Hilty.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wortman, I would hope that the chair would forward the email, but you never know what they might do. I see no problem with accepting that amendment as a friendly amendment, Mr. Chair, Representative Wortman.
Members, Representative Wortman offers the oral amendment to strike the words on 2.2, beginning with the to the chairs and ranking minority, and it's just we would remain with members. Okay, as Mr. Palmer has indicated, we can leave, excuse me, the words to the on line 2.2, so strike the words chairs and ranking minority. Everybody understand the oral amendment? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The oral amendment is adopted and the motion prevails. Okay. Further testimony, I believe Director Glahn would like to speak on this issue. Mr. Glahn, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, thanks for allowing me the opportunity to testify. I am Bill Glahn, Director of the Minnesota Office of Energy Security, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Commerce, but actually I think I'm coming before you today wearing my third hat, that of the Acting Reliability Administrator. Given the late hour, I'll try to be very quick here. I believe, and I've testified to this effect on a number of occasions, perhaps the biggest problem facing reliability today is our interstate transmission grid and the lack of investment in that in the last 30 years or so. So anything that can be done to make it more likely we'll get these facilities built and improve or minimize the impact of those facilities on the public, then I think is a step forward. So I support this effort that Representative Hilty and Representative Westrom have undertaken and others to try to find a way to use existing corridors whenever that's feasible to minimize those impacts and get facilities built. That being said, and I, like others, only saw the delete all amendment here a few moments ago. So very quickly, I just want to raise a couple of things. One is, and I appreciate Representative Hilty and your commentary on the underground issue that you pointed out in 1.13 and 1.14. That was a concern of mine with the earlier draft, that it didn't seem to have any test for cost effectiveness or the cost aspect of it. And I still have a similar concern with the language that does remain, that I have no doubt that interested parties will bring to the Commission's attention opportunities to put these facilities underground. So I don't think that's a concern that they're not going to give consideration to placing them underground. But again, the cost differential usually starts at about 5 times the cost of overhead and ranges 10 times and upward depending on the circumstances. So it can, I know it's a a solution a lot of people point toward is, well, just bury it and then that'll solve all our problems. But unfortunately, the cost aspect of it starts to become a problem fairly quickly. And then, again, my colleagues at the Department of Transportation and the Public Utilities Commission may have their own specific concerns about the bill. But some of this language that begins on 1.17 and extends to 1.110, I understood from Mr. Eloff's commentary is new additions to this, calling out specific types of facilities, and I'm not sure that additional specificity is helping us. I think it just, in the end, ends up creating more divisions. I think everyone understands the concept of trying to steer these things clear of occupied buildings, and that's something that certainly the Public Utilities Commission considers in citing, and I'm not sure what help we're giving to them by by specifying what kinds of facilities we're trying to avoid. So with that, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to reiterate my support and my department's support for the general thrust of this legislation. Appreciate Chairman Hilty for bringing it forward, and would be happy to answer any questions or yield to the next witness.
Director Glahn, thank you for your comments. Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a question both for the Acting Reliability Administrator and the author of the bill, Chair Hilty, to the question of costs. As I think you both are aware of, there's a growing concern nationally that the independent system operators are less and less able to effectively look at the lowest cost or the most cost-effective options for increasing reliability and through new transmission. Some have suggested it's because of conflicts of interest or just an inherent bias that may come. But I'm wondering if you have some thoughts on the kind of overall cost-effectiveness of the language that's here, whether you believe that it really will protect ratepayers or what the overall impact will be in terms of cost effectiveness and making sure we do add the transmission that we may need.
Mr. Glahn? Chair, Representative Kalin, I guess my concern would be not so much as cost, but whether these facilities get built at all. So to the extent that we can have language that meets the concerns of the other agencies that allows facilities to get built, then that's to the extent that some of these provisions are more costly than a theoretical alternative that never comes to fruition, then I guess I would lean toward taking the the one that can get built rather than the theoretical that can't get permitted. So I guess that's my take.
Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Kalin, I would point out to you the language on lines 1.9 and 1.10, which reads, these considerations should be made where avoidance is costless or can be achieved at little cost. So, you know, it was certainly the intent here to not try to choose the most costly alternative, but rather to choose the most sensible alternative when cost was not an issue.
Representative Kalin.
Follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Hilty, I appreciate that language in the bill. I think it's actually the consistent with a safe and effective operation on line 1.7 that reminded me of the several articles that I've read. The last of which, I think, from Public Utilities Fortnightly last year, where I think the issue was raised rather exhaustively, and so I will make sure the members of the committee have that copy of that. I think that there's when you get to this point of an actual line, a specific line, then this sort of is it the most cost-effective route, and are we doing the wisest thing that. I think you and I are on the same page there. It's this larger question of, are we actually protecting ratepayers and making sure that the entire overall planning of our infrastructure is done at the lowest cost to maintain that infrastructure? I think we'll have a more thorough discussion next week, hopefully, but just wanted to raise that point.
Representative Westerman, you had a question?
I do, Mr. Chair. Kind of related to the cost issue, to Mr. Glahn first. You said underground generally starts at five times or higher the cost. What is the reason for that? And as I sit back and would ponder that, it seems like digging a trench 6 feet, 8 feet down, however deep they'd go with a big line like this, would be cheaper than erecting all those poles along the way. You'd need less easement area and things like that. So what is it that I might be missing that drives the cost of underground so much greater? And secondly, you also avoid the ice storms and the wind storms and the tornadoes. It becomes, years ago, we I mean, the sign of an updated farmstead was when you could go underground to all your barns and sheds, so you didn't have machinery that would catch power lines and wind that would blow it down. Just can you help us as a committee, what would drive the cost being underground so much greater than above ground?
Director Glahn?
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, I never thought I would be admitting to wishing I were a transmission engineer, but here's one instance where I would hate to give you a financial professional's perspective of it and then get the engineering wrong. So I'll commit to getting back to you with a better technical explanation as to why the initial construction cost is helpful or is so much higher for the undergrounding. As opposed to the overall maintenance, I think you're correct that with the storms, I know the northeastern United States is suffering from widespread outages after their latest multi-foot snowstorm. So you probably do have a higher incidence of having to do maintenance on the above ground. But as I understand, it's extremely costly when there's a failure with the underground because you have to go and read. And instead of just shrinking a new line, basically undo all the construction you did those years before to bury it to try to get at the fault. So it can make ongoing maintenance probably a little higher with the overground overhead. The underground construction, as I understand it, I'll get you a better engineering explanation as to why, is multiple times more costly. But the undergrounding is much more costly when it does have a failure in order to correct it. So I'll get you a better answer as soon as I can.
Members, I would like to remind you that we do have another bill on the agenda, and we'd like to get to it. So let's try to wrap this one up as quickly as possible. Representative Westrom, quick follow-up.
Just follow up, and I'll just point out the prudent avoidance, Representative Hilty, and then to the issue Representative Glahn raised in about prescribing what areas the daycare centers, et cetera, we're going to try to avoid. I might have some concern or would like to discuss that with you, but we can certainly do that offline. Just raise that for committee members to know what I'm thinking, but I don't need an answer right now. We can talk later to keep moving.
Mr. Chair, I'm more than happy to commit to working with the author and Representative Westrom to get this thing in good shape.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Purcell.
All I wanted to say was I'd like to have that information shared with the committee as a whole, what Representative Westrom has requested. I'm very interested too.
I think that'd be appropriate, and I'm assuming Director Glahn would be willing to make that information available to all committee members.
And in accordance with Representative Hortman's desires, we'll send it to the whole committee.
Representative Beard, did you have a final quick point you wanted to?
I was going to address the undergrounding and the fact that as the power goes up, the cost will go up exponentially, but we'll wait for them to distribute the committee. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the audience that would like to testify either for or against this bill? Please come forward at this time. Seeing none, Representative Hill. Oh, I apologize. Ms. McAbee, I missed you there.
Thank you, Thank you.
Please state your name and.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Paula McAbee. I guess with the red sweater, I thought I'd be conspicuous. Very briefly, I think that this bill represents a really good effort to try and balance the desire to get transmission routed and the need to protect communities and environmental features when that transmission is routed. I did prepare some written materials that I think I've been copied, so I won't duplicate everything. But the state of Minnesota did have an interagency working group on electric and magnetic fields in 2002. Which came up with a policy of prudent avoidance. And this language that Chair Hilty put in the bill is very similar to that's in the interagency work group. I included in my materials some examples from other states that do pay particular attention to either routing or avoidance of areas like schools and hospitals and child cares, because those are the places where children spend a long time. I think the issue of undergrounding is very important. Even though it may be more expensive for those few miles, sometimes undergrounding can avoid an area of very dense population or very sensitive environmental feature, and can, for the extent of the entire line, actually be cheaper than taking a huge detour through open fields or other areas. So I think that undergrounding can, in some cases, actually be a more cost-effective rather than a less cost-effective way to go. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Ms. McAbee, thank you for your testimony. Any questions? Seeing none. Representative Hilty, would you like to renew your motion?
I would, Mr. Chair. I believe the question has arisen about the possibility of a fiscal note for this bill. I think the language that I pointed out would suggest that there would very likely not be one, but I think what I would like to do, Mr. Chair, is for the time being just renew the motion to send this bill to the General Register, and I will ask for a fiscal note, and if there's any consideration that needs to come before the Transportation Committee, I would agree to re-refer it. But I should mention that earlier today I did talk to the Chair of the Transportation Policy Committee, who did not feel a necessity for seeing the bill.
I may have misspoke too quickly. It looks like we may have had one additional person that wanted to come down and speak on behalf of the bill. I do apologize for not recognizing you. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dave Sikora, and I work on the staff of the Office of the Chief Counsel for the Minnesota Department of Transportation. And I had an opportunity to address the committee a week or two ago when Representative Westrom's amendment was addressed, and I will not repeat what I said then, but I do appreciate the opportunity to very briefly offer a couple comments. We are just reacting to this language, and first I'd like to thank Representative Hilty for the work that he's put into this and to the language that he has proposed. We think it's a significant improvement from where the original bill was, because there's more clarity and specificity in the language. There are a couple of matters that we would like to have the opportunity to continue to work with the authors on to try to smooth out some of the language. One example would be on line 1.6. We would be more comfortable with an approach that included reference to continuing to be consistent with applicable laws. MnDOT is an agency that has many rules that govern how we do business, as well as what we are allowed to do and not do, what we can spend money on. So we'd like to just make sure that we are not in any way setting up a conflict with any existing laws. And I would also point out on line 1.21, there's a reference to highway rights of way, which uses different terminology than was used in section 1 of the bill, which discusses utility, railway, and highway corridors. And we think that it would be more appropriate to continue to use the term corridors, which is a bit more of an expansive definition than right-of-ways. So we would appreciate the opportunity to continue to work with the authors to try to smooth out this and any other language that we might feel needs to be addressed.
Mr. Sikora, thank you for your comments. Any questions for this testifier? Mr. Beard, Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Sikora. When you say you'd like the opportunity to work with the author to move this, if it's going to the General Register, what do you have in mind? What would accomplish the opportunity to work? An amendment on the floor, or holding it back for another session to get an amendment prepared for before we send it to the floor?
Well, Mr. Chair and
Mr.
Representative Beard, there was some discussion just a couple minutes ago with Mr. Glahn about some alternate language that he would suggest. And if we may have the opportunity to participate in that discussion, that's what I had in mind.
Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Perhaps, Mr. Sikora, I shouldn't put you on the spot. Perhaps you should ask the author of the bill, Representative Hilty, or Chair Hilty, how could we accomplish these the technical things that keeps the bill clean and neat, so we don't have to monkey with it again and fix it later? You thinking we should fix it on the floor as you offer the bill, or hold it back and do the technical fixes next meeting?
Representative Hilty.
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, it sounds to me like what we're talking about is just a couple of very minor language changes, and considering that we are rapidly running out of time today, I think perhaps the best thing to do would just be to lay the bill over until the beginning of the next meeting, we'll get the language that makes everybody just very happy. And
I could use some happiness. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And we'll try to deal with it in that way. I think that's, under the circumstances, probably the best way to deal with this, considering that most of the business that we had hoped to accomplish today, you know, it's going to get moved to the next meeting anyway.
Members,
so, Mr. Chair, that being the case, I would simply move to lay the House File 3125 as amended over to the next meeting.
We're checking to make sure that we have actually adopted the amendment before us, which I believe
we did.
Mr. Chair, I recall voting for it. If that's any help.
Staff is. We amended the amendment, but we have not adopted the amendment, so as it's been indicated to me.
That's true.
All right. Well, we have concurred to that we do have the correct amendment, and it has been adopted before us. With that, House File 3125 is laid over.
Mr. Chair, if I could make a suggestion at this time.
Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My suggestion would be that you adjourn the meeting and that we continue these matters in the next meeting on Wednesday.
Representative Hilty taking that friendly suggestion. The meeting is adjourned.
With a reminder to put materials in the save your materials for next week.
Members, please.